people, purpose, patience. I'm going to start this off with a little disclaimer. Just because I give you advice doesn't mean I think I'm better than you. The only reason is because I've done more dumb shit than you have. And I don't want you making the same mistakes. So for the people that think I'm qualified because I'm sitting behind a microphone, I'm not. All I'm doing is speaking on my life. I'm not speaking on anyone else. I'm not putting anyone else down. I'm trying to uplift existence. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. And I'm going to give you a few stories of how that is growing. It's cultivating now. My picture is becoming clearer. My goal is becoming clearer. My aim is becoming bigger. My focus is becoming sharper. I'm going to speak on the things that have happened to me just within the past couple of hours. I feel that everything you go through in life is a test. You're put in the situations to test you. You may be in the same situation that you are in, and the same rut is to test you. What can you allow? What will you allow before you finally decide to say, fuck it, I'm changing. I need to change. Whether it be your situation that you're living in physically or mentally. Because once again, I'm going to tell a few stories that sort of broadens that and opens that up a little bit so you can better understand it. But notice, I've done more dumb shit than you have. I just don't want you making the same mistakes. Simple as that. And it's also true that courage plays a big part in how your life goes, because you have to have the courage to stand up to things that you just aren't sure of, because nobody's sure. I could die right now. Nobody's sure. Nothing is certain. It's how much courage you have to take risk, to sacrifice for discipline. It's what you lack is the reason why that you're still in the situation that you're in. Once again, I've done more dumb shit than you have. I didn't take the chances. I didn't believe in myself. I'm not qualified to do anything but take care of my family. That's it. I'm doing this podcast because I realized that I have a story to tell. And the things that I've went through in my life can teach. It's the only reason why I'm doing this podcast, and I feel that I'm sort of doing a decent job at it. So I'm going to start with a few stories. Just left today. The first thing I want to speak on is leadership. Those people who were put in positions to be leaders, you are looked upon as strong. You are looked upon in the face of a crisis to be solid. You are looked upon to be a pillar. If you sway, if you falter, if you fold, if you fall, you're not going to be seen as a decent leader. You're not going to be seen as a person that we want to follow. You're not going to be seen as a person that we want to listen to. We'll look to others for that. That is happening to me a lot lately. But I've always seen myself as a solid person, as a pillar, always. So I don't mind taking on the brunt of responsibilities that others should take on. I don't mind it. It's as I'm standing with that person that's wavering, we're stronger together. So that's why I don't mind. But if you're put in that position to lead, it's not what you know. It's how many people are you willing to uplift? Can we count on you when things seem a little shaky? Yeah, I know I don't really name names. I don't really point people out. I just point out instances and certain, you know, when certain things happen, that's what I point out. But when you're put into that position, you have to. You have to block out all distraction and focus on the problem and realize that I'm put in this position for this reason. You can't fold. Can't. Another thing is accountability. We have jobs. We all have jobs where we have to be accountable. We have to be held accountable for our actions. And some of us have to be held accountable for others' actions as well, because we're put in that position of leadership. They do what they see. They repeat what they see, you know, so if you're in a position of leadership at your job or in life, what you put into it, others are going to see that, and it's going to feed them as well. So they're going to follow because they see where you are in life. They see where you are at your position. So if I do that, I'm going to go there. And like I tell people I work with, I'm going to teach you how to do this task, but I want you to learn your way, because it's going to become a time, if you stick with it, that it's going to, that someone's going to be looking at you. So I don't want you to emulate me. I want to teach you how to do the task, but don't emulate me. Make it your own. Because I can only do it my way. I can teach you how to do it properly, but watch and make it your own. Because if you don't do it my way, you're going to feel that you failed. No. I applaud all effort. And you should as well. So be accountable for yourself, but understand that you also have eyes on you. Another thing I want to say is, when crisis happens, how do you respond? I was at work today, and this young gentleman walked in, and he had a machete on his side. You could tell he was doing it for attention because, you know, I don't live in the jungle. So there's no need for you to have a machete hacking down trees or, you know, hunting or nothing like that. Concrete jungle, yeah, but not an actual jungle. And this other customer, he really took offense to that. He called the kid out of his name. He said some derogatory things towards the kid, and he confronted him. Everybody else around me sort of stood there frozen, because they didn't know what was going to happen. I stood in between that, because the other customer was like, you got to put him out. You got to say he has to go. You got to put him the fuck out. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I said, well, you're going against your policy, this or that. And then his anger kind of turned my way, because I wouldn't back him in that quest to confront this kid, to put him out. I didn't do that. Everyone around me, I would hope it was a teachable moment for everyone around, because how you respond to certain things. I asked that gentleman, just because he's different doesn't mean he's a threat. Just because you see he has a machete on his side. And the other guy looked at me, he was like, dude, I'm not doing anything. And I was like, sir, I understand, but you need to know, you know, you're going to face something when you come out like that. You have to know, you know, especially with everyone being on alert, everyone being on edge, but everyone also being excited to be outside. We just, a lot of people really aren't in control anymore. They're just so happy to be outside, happy to have masks off, happy to, you know, just be. And I was telling the other gentleman to, you know, just try to calm down. He goes, that's everyone's fucking problem. And, you know, he was like, you don't know who you're talking to, this and that. And he was like, I'm an off-duty cop. But I was like, sir, I don't really give a fuck who you are. I'm not going to allow you to attack this gentleman. And I sort of diffused the situation. I even met up with that particular man about 15 minutes later as he was leaving the store, and I pulled him aside and I said, "Sir, is everything okay?" And he said, "I just don't like the way the world is. I don't hate the way the world is. I want it to change. I want it to change now." And I was like, "But you do have to understand that not everybody looks like you. Not everybody has your same ideologies. Not everybody is going to share in your sentiment towards everything that you see as a problem." And he was like, "Yeah, I understand. And I possibly understand that I did take that the wrong way. I did react in the wrong way." And I was like, "You kind of did." And he was like, "Is that kid still here?" And I was like, "No, he left." And he was like, "I would hope to see him again. And I'm going to, you know, apologize for the way that I responded, the way that I reacted." And he was like, "Had you not been there, I was going to attack him." He didn't say attack, you know. He was like, "I was going to try to fuck him up, you know, because I didn't know what he was doing with the knife." And I'm like, "Sir, but you say you're an off-duty police officer sworn to always be the calm one." And he looked at me and he was like, "How are you? He was like, how are you here? You should be a cop." You know, I'm like, "Sir, I don't like authority, first of all. But I'm fine." Like I told him, "Sir, I'm like, I'm fine where I am. I'm okay in the position that I have, not just in my job, but in life. I'm okay being the man that I am." That sort of diffused the situation. He left. And I'm going to rewind earlier today. I've told a couple of stories of myself helping people, you know, a lot less fortunate. And I've told a story of this one guy. I believe I told you all about how he lost his life. I'm sorry, he lost his wife, and then the rest of his life just fell apart. Yesterday, he came into the store yesterday morning, and he threatened a lot of my fellow employees. He threatened a lot of customers. And I got there probably about a good hour after all of it happened, because a good friend of mine said, "You know, the guy that you help, why did he act like that? Why did he confront us like that?" And I was talking to the friend of mine, you know, coworker, and, you know, he was like, "That guy doesn't realize all the help you gave him and this and that and everything that you do." And he was like, "He just came in and he was violent. You know, we didn't know how to respond, really." So today I was walking around the store and walked behind the store, and I saw a bike sitting in the place where it shouldn't have been. And I saw a semi-naked man just laying in the sun. And, you know, I said, "Hey, you know, sir, are you okay?" And I looked and I noticed who it was. It was that same gentleman. And he jumped up. And when I looked at his face didn't look the same. He had about a good 100 stitches on the side of his face. And all of his teeth were gone. And I said, "Man, what happened to you?" He said, "I got beat up. And I got 2 plates in my jaw. And they had to remove my teeth to fix my jawline." And he opened his mouth and he showed me all of that. In actuality, all I saw was the stitches. All I saw was the stitches and rotted teeth. So all of his teeth must have fell out. I didn't see any plates in his mouth. But I did see that his jaw was sort of, you know, disfigured. And I asked him about the situation yesterday, and he told me about it. He said, "I'm so sick of all of you guys messing with me, fucking with me." And I was like, "You sick of all of us?" And I was pointing at myself. And he was like, "Well, no, not you, not you." I was like, "Well, had I been there yesterday, what would you have done?" He's like, "I wouldn't have done anything to you." And I'm like, "Well, why is that?" He's like, "Well, because you treat me like a person. You talk to me like I'm somebody." And I was like, "Well, why don't you believe me?" And at this particular time, I didn't know his mental state. I didn't feel that same calmness I feel around him any other time. And I had, you know, FaceTime my wife just in case something were to happen because there wasn't anyone else around me. So she heard the, you know, a good portion of the conversation. And he broke out in tears. And I gave him directions once again to a place that, you know, helps people in need. And I told him he's going to have to get there. Told him how to get there. And hopefully he takes that advice, because I told him I can't have you around the store anymore. You know, we don't feel safe, and, you know, and I don't want anything to happen to him. And after crying, you know, he picked his things up and he left. He walked away. He actually did get on the bus. I told him to get on. So hopefully by now, that particular place will allow you immediate help. Like, if you need a place to stay, it's not much, but they'll give you a place to stay to where you're not sleeping outside. I mean, you're going to have to admit to receiving help and stuff like that and trying to get clean, but they'll at least try to help you. But you must help yourself, is what I told them as well. And also, other than a few disputes between, you know, management and employee at my job, I've had a fairly good past couple of days, fairly good since the last time, you know, I uploaded, and things have been okay. A lot more men have been coming around me, meaning I've been in a lot of good company with great friends, and I've had some good news and good conversations with good friends of mine. But I've been telling my kids to look at, you know, certain things and watch certain things, and just to see where mistakes were made in life and to see people, you know, overcome those mistakes, or someone who's actually just, unfortunately, still hasn't reached that potential. People who are afraid to reach their potential. Sort of teaching moments for my children. You know, hopefully everything sticks, you know? Hopefully everything sticks. I've been in more contact with friends and family, just checking on mental state and just how they're doing, and, you know, just making sure that everything's going the way that it's supposed to go in life, you know? I mean, and other than that, work-wise, I've been all right. But the goal, you know, for change, to be a beacon of change, that's also been kicked up a notch, so to speak. I've been on more and more meetings. I'm getting more and more exposure, not just with the podcast, but with work as well. More and more exposure for the things that I believe in. I have a few more meetings lined up in the next couple of days that, you know, I hope to go well, and I hope to actually become more of a beacon, get my ideas out, preach unity and, you know, diversity and equality and inclusion, you know, shameless pun, but diversity, equality, and inclusion, you know, for everybody. I'm sorry, equity and inclusion for everyone. So, you know, everything has been going according to plan, so to speak, with what I want for the podcast and what I want just for the people around me. You know, I seem to be in a pretty good mode right now, to where I'm able to spark that change and able to be heard more. And able to be believed, because, you know, certain people just look at it as, oh, you just talking, you're this positive because you don't really know what's going on and this and that. I was like, no, you know, this can actually happen. And it's starting to become a real thing now, not just a goal or a dream that I'm having is actually becoming real. You know, I'm actually beginning to reach, and people are beginning to see that you can change and you can still have you can still have a disagreement with someone and still maybe see eye to eye in the end, just like today with the story I told you all. I mean, it honestly, it can work. You know, like I tell people, you know, habits are building blocks for how your life goes and how things will happen for you. Because if you practice good habits, soon it'll become routine and just it'll become every day. And I've been slacking, but I'm also getting back to that. You know, reading more, trying to talk to people more, just trying to breathe more positivity. You know, it's all coming to fruition. And, you know, I'm like I said, I'm loving the state I'm in. You know, I actually have the meeting I have tomorrow. I have to really prepare for it. But have I? No. I've mentally prepared, but have I put anything down to where I can actually have a speech that's going to make an impact? No, I'm not really a speech giver. I'm more of a moment person. Because what if I don't feel what I write at that particular moment? I'm going to scratch it and just speak from the heart. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to respond to the questions and speak from the heart, because what I'm faced with tomorrow is mainly how have I adjusted in this new social and civil climate now as a Black individual, Black man. I don't really like speaking on or talking about things like that. I'd rather just speak as a man, as a father, as a husband, as a brother, as a son. You know, I'd rather speak on that because more and more people can relate to that if I just take off that label of Black man. That's also where I get into trouble when people say, oh, you're just speaking for them and they're telling you what to say and all of this shit. I really could open up on this podcast, but I don't want to. I don't want to give that energy any more energy. I want to dead that. And that's why I don't even pay no attention, y'all. That's how you feel. That's how you feel. But like I said, I'm loving the things that are happening. I've been around friends more, good people more, laughing a lot, y'all. It's good to laugh, you know? It's good to laugh. I'm enjoying the things that I've set out to enjoy. Me and my kids are having more deeper introspective conversations. Me and my wife are enjoying each other's company. We've actually watched a couple of movies, maybe just one movie. I think it was just one. Yeah, it was just one movie. But still, hey, we watched one. We actually had the moment to watch a movie. And we've been talking more and enjoying each other's company more and just laughing. Just laughing. You know, little moments matter, y'all. Little things matter, especially to a person that feels that they've just been beaten and stretched and constantly having to, you know, work, something like that. So it's good to have those small moments where you remember what it's all for. I got an episode planned. Hopefully everything comes about with that one that you definitely need to hear, because it's going to be coming from so many different sides. But like I said, you need to have those sort of dynamics to see, can you meet in the middle with the person? So I'm going to try to set it up now that we got a neutral place that we can meet. Hopefully it won't be behind a microphone. It'll actually be like how I used to record on the phone. So hopefully we can have a moment where we sit down and talk and just have that sort of tough conversation that needs to be had. I don't want to speak on it because I'm going to give my side of it away without actually letting that person speak. And, you know, I'm going to sort of give it away a little bit. This person is against a lot of things that I am for. This person also doesn't like black people. And where we found our common ground is sports. Oddly enough, a Packers shirt of all things. And, you know, I had looked up and I had said, I think I said something about Rodgers and stuff like that, how I respect him and stuff. And he said, he was really disrespecting Aaron Rodgers. And I was like, you wouldn't be disrespecting him if he was there. And, you know, we had a laugh. And then I saw a tattoo on his arm that said something. And, you know, he said that's the way that he feels. He was like, you got a problem with it? You know, sort of. But like I said, I'm already giving it away. But, you know. Me and that person have had quite a few conversations as of late, and good conversations. I didn't even tell my wife about because I wanted to see where it would go. You know, so because I didn't want it to be like, okay, well, now he said this or whatever, you know, I've never seen him again. But I've seen him quite a few times since then, and he's opened up about a lot of things. How he's trying to change. And, you know, hopefully it works. Hopefully I have the sit down because I have been coming up empty on a lot of those promises I made y'all. It's not my fault. Shit. I just, hey. But that was just an update on what's been going on. Everything. It hasn't been chaotic, though. It's been a good thing, but if I can leave you all with something, I want to leave you just with this. Move fast. Help others. Keep your word. Chase obsession. Make no small plans. Work more than talk. Don't ask permission. Question assumptions. Do more than required. Act like your future self. Always take the hard route. Patience is a podcast.